its current state here on 90.5 WKAR, the first ever United States report card on physical activity for children and youth was released last week. With a grade of D- for overall physical activity, there is plenty of room for improvement. The report also focuses on the behavioral and environmental influences which shape a child's physical activity habits. Joe Eisenman is an assistant professor of sports and cardiovascular nutrition at Michigan State University's College of Osteopathic Medicine. Joe served on the committee that commissioned the report, and he joins us now to break down the grades. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Mark. Happy to be here.
You know, we're glad you're here. And what was the motive behind compiling this report exactly?
So part of the motive is our friends across the border in Canada have issued a similar report card for the past 5+ years. And this month in Toronto, there is a global summit on physical activity and health of children, in which several countries around the world will also issue a physical activity report card. So that's part of the reason why this report card was issued. And also, there's a lot of timeliness to it as well, obviously, given the childhood obesity epidemic and a lot of concern for physical activity levels of children in the United States.
What were the different aspects of physical activity that you attempted to measure? And talk to us about the indicators that might influence kids' physical activity.
Sure. So that's kind of a two-part question there. The first thing is we examined several indicators. You know, first and foremost is the overall physical activity level. So how much moderate to vigorous intensity physical activity children and adolescents are getting per day, but also looking at the flip side of that, and that sedentary behavior or inactivity, and then also other components of it, including active transport, sport, active play, and then how different other factors can influence that, including family and peers, what's called the built environment or parks, and other avenues for physical activity. Those are also graded as well.
Active transport. This is just how young kids get around, whether they pedal a bike or run or walk or
right.
Do something other than ride in the back seat of a car, kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. The report card is being called the first of its kind, yet sedentary kids have been on our collective radar for some years now. Should what you studied have been studied sooner?
Well, it has been studied for, you know, several decades now. Several researchers have been actively involved in research of physical activity in children, either looking at the levels of activity or relating the level of activity to certain health indicators.
I'm still not clear on what makes this study the first of its kind.
Sure. So, again, this is a compilation of all of that research over time, but more importantly, you know, there's researchers on this campus or at different universities across the U.S. where they may study just a small cohort of children, whereas a main feature of this report is using nationally representative data. So, for example, our taxpaying dollars pay for a few large national surveys in this country. One is called NHANES, National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, and another one is called the Youth Risk Behavior Survey. So using data from those reports and sitting down and using a rubric, so not just expert opinion, but using a rubric where we graded each of the indicators based on the prevalence of activity, inactivity, so on and so forth.
Well, our grade was nothing to write home about. Overall physical activity had the grade of D-. Go with us a little deeper into that. How and why did we fare so poorly?
It's kind of the state of the nation, so to speak. And also, if you look at adults don't do much better. And obviously, there's a lot of things that have happened, especially in the past generation, that probably plays into this as well. We've basically socialized physical activity out of our culture. So there's a lot of ways to be sedentary now. There's a lot of technology that comes into play there and whatnot. So again, there's a lot of factors that come into play there. Obviously, a lot of room for improvement.
One stat that just screamed out at me, this was in a story about your study, From the New Orleans Times-Picayune, the percentage of children engaging in moderate to vigorous activity, and here we're talking kids 6 to 11 years of age, moderate to vigorous activity at least 5 days a week, 42%, that's less than half. But you go up to the 12 to 15-year-old group, that drops to 8%.
Right.
Fewer than 1 in 10.
So there's a lot of factors that come into play there, and not all of them are social or environmental. Part of it is just natural biology as well. You can look across all animal species, and when they go from childhood into adolescence to adulthood, physical activity levels decline. So there's some biological underpinnings to that.
But technology obviously plays a huge role.
Certainly,
here too.
We can't ignore social factors or environmental factors either. And you know, one piece that probably needs a little bit more attention is youth sport as well. So if we look at youngsters, 6 to 11 years of age or whatever, a lot of them are engaged in youth sport. Youth sport is a big outlet for physical activity, whether it be organized or unorganized. And if we look at, you know, the adolescent age group, that's when we get into middle school and high school, when kids are getting cut from sport. And so if youth sport is a outlet for physical activity, and now adolescents are not allowed that opportunity to continue to pursue physical activity through sport, it plays part into the decline in activity of adolescents.
Does it fall to the schools? Does it fall to elected officials? Who does it fall to maybe beef that up?
I think it really falls upon all of us. I mean, when we look at this, it's a real complex behavior. There's obviously personal choices to be active, but it goes all the way to, you know, the government level as well in terms of policies, procedures. Obviously, the schools come into play there. You know, if we go back to the youth sport thing, and now if we talk about cutting kids from, you know, a high school basketball team or whatever, what's their outlook going to be? And people always bring up intramural sport, but, you know, who's going to organize that? Where are we going to find the gym space for that? So on and so forth. So, It becomes a complex matter, but obviously it's also an important issue where we need to think of solutions because of the consequences that physical inactivity across the lifespan has.
Remind us what those are. I mean, how does this come back to harm folks?
Sure. There's a myriad of consequences that range from, you know, physical aspects such as increased risk of cardiovascular disease, diabetes, cancers, to mental aspects as well, depression, anxiety, and even going back to the school piece again, you know, a lot of people with the inactivity in children will point to physical education. Number one, it's not the magic bullet. If we put physical education back in schools, it's not going to cure the childhood obesity epidemic or the physical inactivity epidemic. It's going to be a part of it, but you know, there's several other factors that need to come into play as well. So, you know, getting back to the consequence thing here with schools and cutting physical education and even recess in lieu of standardized tests and doing well in math and science, we know that there are these relationships between physical activity and cognition and a lot of neurocognitive processes.
Joe Eisenman has been our guest. Joe's an assistant professor of sports and cardiovascular nutrition here at Michigan State University. We've been getting his take on the first ever United States report card on physical activity for children and youth. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.